There is something in the air these days that I keep noticing and I can't quite stop thinking about. There's like this collective low-grade pretending that everyone's fine. And I don't mean this in some melodramatic way or anything like that. I mean it in a mundane, barely conscious way that's become so normalized now that nobody even really registers it anymore. So I was sitting in a coffee house the other day, and it was mid-morning, and this place is usually full and just full enough to feel like the world is still functioning. And there was a guy sitting next to me on his phone, nodding along, saying, "Absolutely," and "for sure," at regular intervals, right? And I noticed that his face had this expression of somebody who was completely checked out. Like his body showed up, but the rest of him sent a representative. Pretty sensible, actually. Subcontracting your presence, I guess. And then I started scanning the room, being the pensive and curious type that I am. And I noticed that everyone in there had the same version of that same checked out look, to a greater or lesser degree. That you only notice when you're paying a certain kind of attention, I guess. But I also noticed that there was something kind of familiar about that look, because I realized that I've been seeing that look everywhere. Whether it's in public or online, it didn't matter. And I've also noticed that this in conversations that start off okay, but then they just kind of go nowhere fast. And it made me especially aware that there's this general unease that you can pick up on. Again, if you're paying attention. And you see this in body language, like there's a tension, right? Where it seems that everybody's bracing for something that they can't quite name. And it sort of struck me that it feels almost like everyone is pretending to be okay right now. But if you say this out loud, it sounds like the beginning of a breakdown or something. Though, I don't really see this pretending situation as pathological. I think it's just, it's what's being asked of people constantly these days. And, you know, the cumulative weight of this, it's something that we just don't want to admit to on a societal scale. So it's like the whole, I guess, elephant in the room kind of thing. You ever notice when someone asks you, "How are you?" That it's not even really a question. And the answer is already leaving your mouth before you've even processed it, right? "Good, thanks. How are you?" It's automatic, like a sneeze or something. And it's not that anybody's trying to be dishonest. This is just something that we do now when we interact. But I think what's interesting is how far this act extends beyond the typical hallway greeting. So a friend was telling me recently about a post that he saw on LinkedIn where someone was being laid off. And the post described it as an exciting new chapter full of possibility. Now, unless they were being sarcastic, you know damn well the person that wrote that post knew the situation wasn't really that exciting. And everyone knew it. Everyone reading it knew that too, right? But everyone just went along with it anyway. So that's just a that's just one example of emotional labor. And emotional labor is the ongoing, mostly invisible work of managing how you appear so other people don't have to deal with how you actually are. And it doesn't show up as an exhaustion in a way that you can put your finger on. It just, it's the kind of thing that just gradually chips away at you day after day, like a slow death from a thousand cuts. And what gets me about this is that we're living through this moment where it seems that we are obsessed with mental health awareness and authenticity now. And yet somehow there's this contradiction happening, because the actual lived experience of most people involves a lot more emotional performance than there should be. This is what we're dealing with now as a society. There's this widespread denial going on. And there's actually a name for this broader phenomenon: hypernormalization, which is also the name of an excellent documentary by Adam Curtis. So what this is, it's this idea that when a society becomes too complex and too broken to fix honestly, the people running it start constructing something like a simplified fake version of reality. And everyone, the institutions, the media, the politicians, and the public, they collectively agree to act as if that fake version is real. Because the alternative, you know, actually confronting the complexity, is too destabilizing. So Curtis traced this back to the final years of the Soviet Union, where the system had become so obviously dysfunctional that everyone privately knew it wasn't working. But nobody said so out loud, because the machinery of daily life required the pretending to continue. Is this starting to sound familiar? So they all just kept going through the motions, acting out a functioning society for each other. Until eventually the whole thing collapsed anyway, which maybe says something about the long-term viability of collective pretending as a survival strategy. And the thing is, this operates on a personal level too, not just politically or institutionally. Because when your own life feels too complicated or too uncertain to face directly, you construct a simplified version of yourself that appears to be doing fine. And you perform that version consistently enough that it starts to feel like the truth. And everyone around you is pretty much doing the same thing. So the fake okayness gets reflected back to you constantly, which makes your own fake okayness feel normal and necessary. And that's hypernormalization at a human scale. It's not a government conspiracy. It's just, it's millions of people individually deciding for completely understandable reasons that the performed version of themselves is just easier to maintain than the real one. And of course, now we have social media to make this process even more ubiquitous. So I think underneath all of this performance that's going on, there's something more specific happening, because I don't think people are pretending to be okay just because the social norms say so. I think a lot of people are pretending to be okay because the alternative is admitting that something that feels, it's admitting something that just feels too uncomfortable to say out loud. That nobody really knows what the hell's coming next. But you can sense that something is. And the uncertainty itself has become its own kind of chronic condition. Alan Watts once wrote about this, and I keep coming back to him because he had this way of naming things that should be obvious but somehow aren't. So Watts basically said that humans suffer because we expect life to come with guarantees that it was never going to provide. And the demand for psychological certainty in an inherently unstable existence, that's where most of the misery actually lives. You know, we're raised in this society that misleads us into believing that there are promises and stability and security. But that is a fallacy. And I think about this in relation to what's happening now, because the level of uncertainty that people are navigating, I mean, it's definitely unusual. Partly because their awareness of it is unusual. And it's not just personally. I mean, this is happening economically, politically, spiritually, technologically, etc. So the ground keeps shifting in, the ground keeps shifting. And basically, the cultural response to this is to just stubbornly double down on the illusion of control. More planning, more ego-driven desires in hopes of making the larger situation feel somehow manageable, which is understandably a very human response. But it's also not really working for most people. You know, I find something almost darkly comical about when someone has a meticulously mapped out plan for every single aspect of their existence. They're under the delusion that they're fully in control of everything in their life. But then they're still awake at night, spiraling and catastrophizing. Because deep down, they sense that they're not in control. And of course, this creates a crisis. You know, the plan, it might be immaculate, but the anxiety is nonetheless unimpressed. I think, you know, the pretending to be fine, it's partly just what happens when people can't find a way to communicate honestly about it. So they just keep saying, good, thanks. And, you know, hope nobody notices. All right, so here's where I want to push back on something. Because the cultural response to all of this exhaustion and uncertainty has largely come from toxic positivity, which is something I've talked about fairly often in some of my videos, I guess. You know, it's the whole good vibes only, everything happens for a reason, and all that stuff. It's this relentless messaging that your suffering is your own fault because you just didn't manifest hard enough to heal your trauma. And I actually find this to be one of the more casually cruel things we do to each other as a society. Taking people who are, you know, genuinely struggling with truly difficult circumstances that are out of their control and suggesting that the problem is just their attitude. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying that I support chronic victim mentality or victim mindset. I do think some people are their own worst enemies, and with some dedication and some help and some personal accountability, I think healing is possible. But look, you know, every situation is different. And on top of this, some circumstances in life are just, they're unsolvable. And that's the reality. Now, Viktor Frankl would have argued that even in the most horrible of circumstances, the possibility still exists for us to choose how to respond to those circumstances. But we can't really do that until we are willing to truly accept the reality instead of dismissing it or downplaying it. And that's an incredibly challenging thing to do. Pema Chodron wrote about this sort of thing, and her viewpoint is, I think, worth sitting with because it's almost the exact opposite of what self-help culture sells. So Chodron's argument is that the path through difficulty isn't really positive thinking. It's learning to be present inside discomfort without immediately fleeing from it. Which sounds rather simple enough, I suppose, but it's actually, this is one of the hardest things a person can attempt. And I think there's an important distinction that should be made between acceptance and resignation. Because acceptance doesn't have to mean giving up. It's more like stopping the fist fight with reality long enough to actually see the situation more clearly, which turns out to be more useful than the fist fight. Go figure. So the toxic positivity version of this says, don't feel bad. The more honest version says, feel bad if you feel bad. Accept it. You don't have to, you know, perform your way out of it. And you know, maybe one of the more radical things that a person can do right now is just at least sometimes admit that things are bloody difficult to someone who actually knows them without a smiley emoji attached. And I realize that that may sound like a simple thing, but it's actually a pretty substantial thing. All right, so I don't have a tidy little ending for this, because I think the obligatory tidy ending, that's just another performance, right? It's just another version of, how are you? Good, thanks. And, you know, delivered with a straight face that's hiding the truth. What I do think is that there's something important about just naming the thing. Just saying, yeah, this is hard. The uncertainty's real, the exhaustion's real. And I think this whole performance of okayness, it has a cost that doesn't show up anywhere, and yet it seems to show up everywhere. And I think there's actually a strange kind of relief that comes from just being able to admit that. And not because it's going to fix anything necessarily, but because the energy that it takes to keep pretending, that's energy that could be spent on something that actually matters to you. Even if it's something small, like a real conversation, or just a moment where you didn't feel the need to document and post it. Ellen Watts had this idea that peace, it's not something that you find by eliminating uncertainty. We can't eliminate uncertainty as badly as we want to. Peace is something that becomes possible when you stop treating uncertainty like it's an emergency, which is easier to say than do. I understand that. But I think even moving slightly in that direction, even just occasionally dropping the performance for 5 minutes, it changes something if you do it often enough. And I don't think that most people are okay right now. I really don't. But I also think that almost everybody feels this way, which means, you know, you're not alone in this as much as the performance might suggest. Anyway, that's where I am with it, at least for the time being. And I guess that's all I have for you today. As always, thanks for listening.